going to go ahead and open this meeting, though, the regular meeting of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. Mr. Arigi, could you please lead us in a pledge of allegiance?
Our flag is bright in color, brilliant in courage, and fervent faith. To these, let us add our sincere pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chapman, roll call.
All present, excused absence for Director Trevino, who's attending the Water Reuse Conference.
Okay. Can I get a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And then opposed? I would like to open public comment. Anyone wishing to speak can do so now. Seeing no interest, so I'll go ahead and close public comment. Move on to the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any changes?
No changes, Mr. Chair, except for on page 11,921, I read through the that item, the approval, the three with one abstention approval, and I was just wondering, you mentioned ARIP funding and packages, the retrofits for packages 3 and 4 would have some role in supporting this, but I was just wondering, I mean, we're just approved now, but what's the urgency? I mean, why couldn't we have done that in 3 months?
Your question, to be clear, is why are we approving this now, not three months from now?
It's the timing. I mean, people need to be hired, or what? I mean, what's the urgency?
My recommendation, as well as the recommendation of Mr. Trejo, is to move ahead and hire as the board approved, so we can do the engineering support work.
So this is funding for engineering support for. I'm just trying to clarify. This is funding for engineering support for design.
The question for now is whether the minutes are accurate.
I'll vote yes on the minute.
Yeah. Okay. Seeing all opposition,
is there a motion?
Do I have a motion to approve?
Yeah.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on. Item number 6, demands on general fund account. Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, we have total demands a little over $321,000 on the general fund, the largest portion by far being the final payment, almost $300,000 to our contractor, Coolidge & Sons, on package 2. So that contract is completely wrapped up now.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
I approve, Mr. Chair, except for demand number 16,421.
I'll move.
With that exception. I move, yes.
Mr. Robinson. Okay, item number 7, discussion, workshop regarding proposed water rates and charges for 2012. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Mr. Vice Chair, our usual process of beginning to discuss the proposed increase in rates and charges here in the fall. Walk you through several slides. Again, just for information at this point for the board. Okay. Christy, can you take it forward, please? Our schedule, here we are in October, in November, having presented to the Water Policy Committee very briefly in October, and we're looking at now going through our typical workshop process, seeking the board's input and input from the producers. And then in December, we would have an action item for the board to consider on the proposed increase in rates and charges. An overview, my observations of where we are, given Metropolitan's increases that have already been adopted that go into effect January of 2012, the total increase in rates ranges from 6 to 9%, depending on the class of service. Class of service means is it treated water or untreated water, replenishment water versus full service water, et cetera. The MWD rates increase by 5 to 8%. What you can infer from that is that Upper District's rate increase of $10 an acre foot is adding another point to those rate increases overall. We do have the specter of the potential loss of the existing replenishment program as we know it, and that has a significant upward impact on costs for replacement water. Our cost drivers are the continued cash financing of capital projects, specifically indirect reuse, membrane bioreactor for the MillerCoors pilot project, and potentially moving into some stormwater. The district has spent just over $6 million in cash to finance capital projects in the last year and this year. So that's a significant drawdown in our cash position. We do have an election year next year, and our expenses for that to the county are about $450,000, and labor costs are continuing to rise as estimated for the revenue requirement. Offsetting that, we do have the Integrated Resources Plan, which will be complete. That's a $225,000 effort this year. That'll drop off next year. Similarly, the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan and administrative support will be consulting expenses that we won't be carrying forward into next year. The rates do recover the cost of service. There's a modest use of reserves in 2012-13, and the debt service coverage is healthy with the proposed rates. Looking at the rate specifically on the vertical here, what you have is the various classes of service. Principally, what Upper District provides is full-service untreated Tier 1. That rate is going up $60 an acre-foot or 7.4%. We use some water off Metropolitan's middle feeder coming from the Wayman treatment plant, sell that to some of the producers, and they in turn use that to blend down some wells that have some water quality challenges. We sell also full-service untreated Tier 1. That rate is going up $43 an acre-foot or 7.2%. And we have a 16,500 acre-foot allocation or Tier 1 annual limit from Metropolitan. We also sell to the Water Master untreated replenishment, and that rate you see is also going up $43 an acre-foot or 9%. Is a smaller base. The proposed increase from Upper District is consistent with what we shared this time last year, $10 an acre foot, going from $70 to $80. Turning to the next chart, sales volume and acre feet. Now, on the vertical here, you have acre feet. And starting in 2010, you can see the pattern. Relatively low use of treated full-service water, between 7 to 5,000 acre feet a year. And in the dark blue, the full-service untreated water, pretty significant purchases in 2010 and 2011. And the replenishment program for Metropolitan was unavailable until the very end of 2011. And you can see we started to pick up a modest volume, about 5,000-7,000 acre-feet of replenishment in the end of 2011. And then in 2012, we purchased quite a bit, almost 30,000 acre-feet of replenishment. There's a fiscal year ending on the horizontal. The assumption for the rates moving forward is that that replenishment water is not available. That program is not available from Metropolitan, specifically meaning the discount isn't available from Metropolitan. We are working closely with Metropolitan and other member agencies, though, to preserve some aspect of that program, which has been very beneficial to the Valley. Getting into some of the costs now. Here we show a summary table of the revenue requirement itself. And we have total operating expenses in 2012-13 of almost $26 million. Operating revenues, excluding what we generate from imported water sales, are about $4.3 million, a significant increase of almost $1 million from the sale of recycled water. We're moving from about 2,300 acre-feet of recycled water up to a volume of about 3,500 acre-feet of recycled water between 11-12 and 12-13. And the replacement water rate that the Water Master charges the producers, which we index our recycled water rate to, is also going up. So that's a favorable increase in the revenue offset, if you will. And so our revenue requirement is $21.4 million compared to water sales receipts of $21.2 million that assumes a $10 increase in Upper District surcharge. So our net change in funds, we would have a draw of about $180,000 given assumed sales of about 25,000 acre feet in 2012-13. I'm not concerned by this because we need to keep in mind that we have that one-time $450,000 expense in our administrative expenses for election costs. Total capital expenditures you see drop off significantly by some $12 million between 11-12 and 12-13, and that reflects moving out of the peak year for the current direct reuse program, which is this year, and this assumes that the board approves awarding construction for packages 3 and 4 in West Covina for the current year, fiscal year. And then we finish off those packages and do some additional work on indirect reuse as well as stormwater in 12-13. Most of the capital program is funded by grants and loans secured through the State Revolving Loan Fund and USBR WaterSmart grants. A little bit of a draw in the fund balance for capital next year, but it's important to recognize that almost $6 million in the previous, this year and last year, was used from our cash balances to fund the capital program. But that's a significant reduction in the cash position. To the next slide, another thing that we looked at that's very important to us is our debt service coverage ratio. This is really just manipulating the numbers on another table a little differently, and a means of communicating to the capital markets, upper district's strength in paying its debt service. So we have operating costs, not including debt service, of about $24.7 million, the same revenue offsets, $4.3 million, and that gets us to net operating costs funded from water sales of a little over $20 million, $20.4, operating revenues, $21.2, and so we have $790,000 left over with which to pay debt service of $97,000. Now, absent special conditions, that would be an unfavorable position because the ratio of that excess revenue that is applied against debt service is less than the debt service itself, and it calculates to be 81%. But I've added this note here that up in the operating costs, we have the $450,000 for election costs. So when you back that out, your debt service coverage is actually 128%. And that's a normal level.
What's the nature of our debt?
The repayment of the state revolving loan funds.
Oh, revolving.
Yeah.
State revolving.
20-year term, 0% interest. It's about $17 million outstanding. A little more detail here. Purchase.
And the date that kicked in was we started paying that back was about 12 months ago?
Yes, correct. You can see in this next table more of a breakdown in the line items. Our total purchase water cost is down about $4 million, almost $4.1 million. And that's due to a reduction in the volume, delivering about 45,000 acre-feet to the basin in the current fiscal year versus 25,000 acre-feet assumed for the next fiscal year. Here you see the challenge we face, and the board's recognized this with the hiring freeze and the direction to staff to come up with a two-tier benefits package, but we have a $120,000 estimated increase in labor costs driven by salaries and benefits. Professional services, I mentioned the IRP, water use efficiency master plan, et cetera, partially offsetting some of that increase, going from $320,000 down to about $210,000. Other costs, the $450,000 there reflects the election costs, and that's a one-time increase every 2 years. There's the total administrative costs are then $2.35 million, or an increase of $430,000 net, which is principally driven by those election costs. And the recycled water program has an increase of about $240,000. That's largely driven by the cost for the additional water and the O&M associated with that.
I'm just curious of why election costs would be score all by itself, but because it makes the other administration, it skews it, and election costs are something that don't change that much and can continue out in the future forever. I think in the past the election costs have been a separate category. I don't like the fact that it's stuck in with administration. Elections doesn't seem like administration to me.
Later in the presentation, we'll look at some of the expenditure trends, and that may help illustrate the relationship between routine administrative costs versus the election costs that occur every 2 years.
Having the elections costs separate enable us to study the administration behavior more closely. I mean, having things that are quasi-administration kind of fogs up the issue as far as I'm concerned.
Can certainly provide additional detail on that. Moving on to the next slide, starting with water quality and supply program. The other expenses there, you see that decrease from $530,000 down to $290,000. That is the reduction from the integrated resources plan. That work being done this year and not next year. Similarly, you see a water use efficiency program, a reduction for completion of the water use efficiency plan this year and not continuing with that work next year. Education and outreach is relatively stable. And so we have those total operating costs are down almost $4 million with water purchases. The biggest driver, again, being the volume of water we're purchasing to deliver to the basin. Sources and uses, a helpful perspective always. So the pie chart on the next graph, total uses of fund, where does all the money go? Some $34 million in total. The lion's share of it, largest slice there in the green, 55% or $18.6 million, is to purchase the water from Metropolitan Water District. We additionally, kind of working my way around clockwise, purchased additional water from recycled water from LA County Sanitation District. That's about $400,000. We have a significant capital outlay, about $7.8 million for the direct reuse recycling program, as well as the rest of the San Gabriel Valley water recycling program. We're assuming here that we'll be engaging with LA County Flood Control District on some stormwater projects and possibly providing grant funding or doing work directly ourselves on some preliminary design or environmental work to tie in some of the gravel pits into their system to give them additional stormwater capacity. That's about $500,000 estimated for next year. The administrative costs are $2.35 million. And water recycling, the cost of the program itself, the O&M, et cetera, is about 5% or $1.5 million. And then we have the sort of hard water use efficiency efforts that we invest in, $1.6 million, and that pretty well rounds it out, almost $700,000 spent on education and outreach. Going to the next pie, that money has to come somewhere. What are the sources of that?
Yeah, I have a comment on that slide. The water recycling part of the budget, $1.5 or $1.6 million that you just mentioned, there's a mandate. We have a state law which requires all regions of California to lower their per capita consumption of water in each of their service areas statewide. And that's also a very efficient, it's a good law. And anyway, the law is the law. I think that should be emphasized more in our budget and in our programs. Number one, because it's so efficient.
education and community outreach, there's no law that is the foundation of that. I mean, that's just popcorn. But the same argument for other areas of this budget. But the water recycling is the foundation of that is state law, and I think we should be doing more in that area. If need be, at the expense of all the other areas, because it's the most cost-effective way to solve the problem that our area and our state is facing on in the future.
Sources of funds, water sales. The green represents the pass-through of Metropolitan's rates to the water master and the producer. We recover that back. Water sales from the estimated 3,500 acre feet that we'll be delivering through the direct reuse system are about $1.9 million. The surcharge that we put on top of Metropolitan's rates is estimated to generate about $2.1 million, or 6%. The Upper District has a standby charge that is currently in place of $8 per parcel within the service area, and that will generate about $1.7. I'm just working my way around clockwise again here. Metropolitan levies another standby charge on behalf of Upper District to offset the readiness to serve charge that Metropolitan levies on Upper District, and that generates almost $2 million. We do receive some funding from Metropolitan and occasionally the Bureau to offset the investment in conservation, water use efficiency, and education. And you can see we are significantly dependent on state revolving loan funds. Those loans are in place to fund the finishing the direct reuse program in 2012-13, as well as a significant amount, $2.4 million in state and federal grants. And then we have some interest in miscellaneous revenue generating about $1 million there. Turning now to some of these expenditure trends, you see quite a bit of variation starting back from 05-06 total operating expenses. That variation is principally driven by the purchased water cost. And you can see a significant rise in those operating expenses from 09-10 on, and falling off a bit for 12-13 as we purchase a little less water. The following chart extracts just that purchase water cost from the total operating expenses, and you can see that same pattern and the volatility associated with the purchase water cost, driven both by volume and the rates at Metropolitan. Water recycling program expenses, getting into a little more detail here. You can see these expenses rising rapidly, principally driven by the repayment of the 20-year loan for about $17 million to the state revolving loan funds, with the debt service starting this year at $740,000, climbing next year to $970,000. And we have O&M costs that we pay to the producers that operate and maintain that facility for us, and that O&M cost also includes an allocation of the district's internal costs, both labor and professional services, for operating and administering that program going forward. And then we have the purchase of the recycled water cost itself up in the very top, rising from $250,000 to $400,000 as we increase that volume purchased from LA County Sanitation District. So total program cost estimated for next year just under $2 million. Moving on to water conservation program expenses, the district makes a significant investment in conservation throughout the year. Most notably here, you can see in 2010-11 to sort of right the financial ship, if you will, and the board had a rigorous discussion about this. We pulled back significantly on the conservation expenses. Then, with the 11-12 adoption of the 11-12 budget by the board, those were reinstated at about $2.4 million, and that includes the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan for about $200,000. And this revenue requirement and these proposed rates assume that that level of expenditure moves forward in the future. Of course, when we have the results from the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan, the board will be able to really dissect those programs that it wants to continue and optimize the dollar amount that's spent, meaning seek the highest bang for the rate per dollar.
We cut back that program significantly, as we see right here. What were the nature of the programs that were curtailed or eliminated? What suffered because we cut that back so much?
As an example, we only did one toilet exchange instead of two. The district has typically done two.
So the drastic increase there is principally just one toilet exchange? And what else?
There's also the reduction from the high-efficiency toilets. That was a very active program through 09-10 and wasn't continued through 10-11. Can provide a breakdown of that by program to Director Robinson. To Director Robinson's earlier point, moving on to administrative expenses, you can see the long-term trend here. There has been a significant increase over time. To point out in the text box there, 12-13 includes $450,000 within the 2.35 for election costs, $150,000 a seat from the county. And if you subtract that from the 2.35, you have administrative expenses of about $1.9 million, where we are tracking currently for the current year.
I would like to see a table of the administrative expenses with all the election costs removed. I just want to see the administration see what that looks like.
Happy to provide that. Moving on to staff costs, the board has had a rigorous discussion about the addition of three new positions, and the last direction given to staff was to hold off on hiring those positions as district employees, pending the board's review of a two-tier benefit package, which we'll bring back to the board in January. The 11-12 projected costs do assume that we will be filling those positions. One already, which was a part-time FTE in the communications and outreach area, working with Peter, and one supporting Evelyn for accounting operations. That is through a temporary service, and potentially two others, the project engineer as well as the support for the conservation program, which until the board reaches a comfort level with the need for those as in district employees and considers a two-tier benefit package will be temporary employees. Capital costs, you can see on this next chart here, $18 million outlay in 11-12. Major expenditures this year and a lot happening with finishing out the direct reuse program. About $11 million of this is package 3 and 4. $6 million of this $18 million is the payment to the City of Industry for the contractual arrangement to use their line that goes from San Jose Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant along Valley and feeds the whole east side and the Phase 2B expansion. The $2.46 million is made up of the $1.2 million loan to South Pasadena. The district has yet to disburse that. South Pasadena has yet to meet the requirements and request those funds. And a $1 million grant to Sunny Slope Water Company, previously approved by the board. And the first disbursement for that grant has been made. Drops off significantly in 12-13 as we finish out the direct reuse program and start more of the work on indirect reuse or groundwater recharge as well as $500,000 for stormwater for preliminary design environmental.
Refresh my memory. The payment to the City of Industry, was that a payment to purchase a pipe or lease a pipe, or was it a payment for easement, or I don't recall.
It's a payment for the capacity right within their pipeline.
So wheeling costs, sir?
Lump sum wheeling costs would be a good way to think of it, yes.
So these aren't recurring. This is a one-time?
One-time, yeah. It's a upfront capacity acquisition. Six. Moving on to professional services, the pattern that's striking here is from starting in 07, 08, 08, 09, up to 09, 10. That's really the ramp up in the use of professional services to implement the direct reuse program. And that's predominantly for engineering support services, planning, design, environmental, construction management, and inspection. And that has fluctuated. We made a concerted effort in 10, 11 to reduce those costs. And with the increased activity this year, they're rising again, but there's a lot more pipe going in the ground. And then as that program drops off, as we saw in the previous slide, those costs for engineering support services for the direct reuse program will drop off significantly. And as we come out of the integrated resources plan and develop a capital program that the water master and the producers can support along with the board, I would expect that you would see a ramp up in those costs out into the future. So to summarize and take us back to one of the first slides, 6 to 9% increases in the rates that are recommended, 5 to 8% if that is metropolitan, we're adding a point, 1% to that overall rate increase. That increase, upper district's increase, is necessary to continue to cash fund the investments in indirect reuse, the project with Miller Coors, the MBR, and stormwater, as well as the conservation program. We do have those election costs, which I agree with Director Robertson, add a variability to our administrative costs, and we'll pull that out and provide a separate table. And we have the continuing challenge of the labor costs, so we'll be bringing back some proposals in January for the board to consider. The consulting costs for the IRP efficiency plan and the administrative support that we needed this year are dropping off next year, so that's helpful. But the proposed rates do recover the cost of service.
Any questions from directors?
Yeah, the comment I have is I don't agree with the some of the assumptions that the staff presents here. My take on the situation with regard to the replenishment program that was mentioned earlier in one of the very first slides, I think that Met has increased the price of their water so much that's going to trigger a lot of conservation programs and a lot of conservation activity. And I think Met is going to look at long-term budget problems. And I think that Met's long-term budget problems, since they've been raising the rates recently so much, is going to trigger an extension of their replenishment programs. They're going to need money. And in order to attract the money, they're going to, have to continue that return replenishment program on into the future. So my assumption is different. And additionally, that assumes bad weather. It may rain a lot in the next year or two, but we don't know. But I don't want to assume the worst and raise rates, and then if those assumptions aren't fulfilled, we're not going to lower the rates. So I'd rather, instead of being proactive, I'd rather be reactive on assumptions like that. So that was for the record. I think a lot of this is justification is based on doubtful assumptions, so I'd like that to be put in the record.
I just wanted to agree with Mr. Robinson, what he had to say about the MWD rate increases. And on top of that, without any debate, gave the general manager a 15% raise when they're raising rates to 8%, which amounted to $40,000 more a year. That wasn't a good practice. So I agree with what Mr. Robinson had to say.
Okay. So this will be brought back?
Brought back on the 6th with a detailed board memo.
Item number 8, anyone wish you to remove anything from the
consent? Just I wanted to reiterate, I hope I get a board support on that. I think lumping in election costs with administration just fuzzies up the whole budgetary process, and I think it should be clear, and we can see what's going on better if the apples are together with the apples and the oranges are in a separate box.
That's something
to do, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Without objection. Any objections? So moved. Item number 10, information item. Attorney's report.
Mr. O'Neill is sitting on the beach in Venice right now. But it's, but it's November, so he's cold. He'd rather be sitting on the beach in Santa Monica, I think. So that's why I'm here. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, we're pleased to have you.
And he should be back the end of next week. And believe me, he's going to work hard when he gets back. I have nothing to report. We have a brief closed session a little later, and I'll mouth off on that.
Item 12, engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a few items. Excuse me. Keeping track of the basin conditions, the key well as of November 11th is up now to 236.5 feet, 236.5. Continues to rise about a half a foot a week. Just some interesting information. Then the engineering report is back there along with the key well graph, but by mid-July of this year, the key well actually started to go down, which is what we normally expect, but it only went down for about 6 weeks and only dropped about a foot and a half before it turned around and started going up again. So it only dropped about a foot and a half over those 6 weeks, which took us to early part of September, and since then it's been rising. There's risen another 4 feet after that. So this is a period of time when we've normally seen the key well going down, but because of all the replenishment going on, it's actually going up, headed into our wet period, so that's all real good news. Releases, as of at least the 7th, Morris Reservoir, they were releasing local water at over 500 CFS. The reservoir capacity in the canyons are down near minimum pool now. So I don't expect that to go on a whole lot longer. In fact, I looked out coming by today, and it looks like the grounds are sort of drying up. So they may be cutting back on those deliveries, but we are headed into the rainy season. Rainfall, downtown LA, so far this fiscal year, we're at almost 140% of normal. Last year at this time, we were at 110% of normal. As we all know, last year was a good year, and we're clearly starting out better this year than we did last year. Water quality during October, under the Title 22, the Department of Public Health program, we did sample 38 wells in October, and in September, sampled 52 wells under the same program. We didn't receive any notices of well shutdown due to water quality. The only other thing I would like to at least mention, and I've done this at Watermaster with a couple of our board members on the Watermaster board, and one of the things Director Robinson mentioned is these two laws, the 2020 the conservation 20% by 2021. Back in 2006, 2007, production in the basin, total production in the basin was almost 290,000 acre feet. This last fiscal year, it's down to 230,000 acre feet. That's roughly 60,000 feet over the last roughly 4 years, and that amounts to over 20% in those 4 years of reduced production from the basin. So very significant. And that's all I have.
General manager's report.
Just a note that we had a successful commissioning for the Rosemead extension last Thursday, joined by Congresswoman Napolitano, Senator Ed Hernandez, and Assemblyman Mike King.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring this up earlier in the minutes, in the discussion of the minutes, but accuracy of the minutes was, I guess, only a discussion that could be entertained then. So let's try it again. on page 11, 921 of the minutes, it talks about engineering support services for the City of Industry Water Recycling Project, Phase 2B. I'm trying to understand in the timing of this. If we had delayed this 3 months, these engineering support services, why? Why now? I mean, why is it critical to have this money? What does it need to be spent on?
Well, we would start with the design. The money goes towards design, construction management, and inspection for the retrofits on package 3 and 4. And the design work could now start versus waiting 2 or 3 months.
Okay, so that
just gives us a leg up in ensuring that we spend the money that is available to us by the end of 2012, particularly the money from American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which we're under the grant terms to expend that money in 2012.
Do we need to hire somebody to do that work?
Yes.
Oh, so that has to do with work needs to be done that we have to hire that can't be done with current staff.
Correct.
Okay, so now I understand a little better. Thank you.
Director comments? Director Fennell?
Nothing today, thank you.
Okay. Future agenda items, anyone wishing to add anything? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn to closed session.
The directors discussed two potential lawsuits, did not decide to participate in one, and the other lawsuit is in somebody else's hands, so this is just a waiting action for that. So there's no action taken on either of the potential lawsuits.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Objection.
Aye.